那还甚至就是有点还是要转。Reality comes back in. This is what concerns us. Now, let's look at this. Just read a story. If you still have your Bible open, you read a story. The story is simple. There's a young, rich ruler came to Jesus Christ. Then the first question he pops up to him is not, how do I get people to like me? How do I get good grades? Because this guy had a good grade, right? Let's take a look at it. What bothers this young man? If you read a story, help me out from the memory. When you read the story just a moment ago, what was the question he pops out to Jesus Christ? That shows what concerns him most, or what bothers him, right? What is the question he asked Jesus Christ? Remember? Yeah, boy, is this the nerdy or what? Nobody in the school these days asks this question anymore, right? So let me put this question in the today's context so that we understand. I don't think this guy is nerdy, because in his time, that question of getting eternal life is very popular, especially among Jewish community. It's like, how do I get to the Ivy League school? How do I get people like me? It's similar to that. Because for his day, the highest aspiration for the young Jewish kid is not how to get to the top university, it's how to get the favor of God. Understand? Because in their society, all the so-called, the upper echelon of the society is full of people who are so knowledgeable of the Torah, of the Bible. They're so knowledgeable how to behave in this world, to have favors from God, to have the character which is pleasing to God. That's the number one issue among those in those days. So, no exception. This young man came to Jesus Christ, it pops as a question to him. Let's take a look at the young man. As you read the story, do you remember what this young man is like? Say a few words from the memory we just read. Say something. Rich. Don't you like to be the name Rich? Rich. He has social status. He has money. Because how do we know he has social status? He's a ruler. If he were in high school, he is the president of a student council senate. He'll be the sole representative for the Adams High School to go to someplace. He'll be the valedictorian in a graduation commencement. He's that kind of a person. Then he has power. Because people, what? Follow him. I remember when my oldest son, that was almost 30 years ago. He had to take a bus to go to Adams High School. I remember when he was freshman, he dreaded going to the bus stop. Why? Because when he didn't know, when he got on the bus stop, he just sit down, then somebody come to him. Hey, buddy, this is my seat. Did that happen to you? No, you're lucky. And he had to vacate his seat, take another seat. Finally, when he gets to senior, I joke with him. I say, Phil, you're a king of the bus stop. And he got on the bus stop. He didn't kick somebody out of the seat. He just sat, and nobody dared to challenge him because he's the king of the bus. But that means power. This is what the society. We are inundated with those kind of, you know, messages. You have to go to higher power. You have to be somebody so that you can get your way around. Physical parent. I mean, that's why I understand. If you have an iPhone 5, I don't know whether iPhone 5 is out yet. If you have an iPhone 4, you just show it. You have a status. Physical appearance. This young man got them all. Not only that, when he talked to Jesus, he thought, "Good teacher, what should I do to earn eternal life?" Think about these words, this question. He called Jesus good teacher. And Jesus immediately tells him that there is no one is good. That means we are all evil. You mean I'm evil? I haven't stolen anything. I haven't beat up anybody. I haven't bullied anybody. To the contrary, I just gave money to the 30-hour famine last year. I just volunteered to help Brady and do this. You call me evil? Jesus said yes. Now let's see the point. This is a critical point of Jesus Christ's encounter with this young man. Because he thinks that Jesus Christ said, "Have you obeyed the commandment?" Do you know the Ten Commandments? Okay? Jesus starts with the number 5. Oh, honor your parent, right? Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witnesses. Then there's one more. Then he said, what he said, "I have followed and observed, obeyed them since I was little." Is he good? Yes, he is good. From the commandment 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Because those are outward behavior expressions. See, he has the moral behavior. But Jesus Christ is going to poke him on commandment number 1 and number 10. We're going to come to that. So he is so anxious to wait for Jesus to say, "Good, you have done commandment 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, so you're good enough to get eternal life." So the question is, what is good? To this young man, if I don't steal, if I don't kill, has anybody killed anybody else? No. So we are all good, right? Have we stolen anything? It depends on what you buy stolen. Have you taken anything which doesn't belong to you? It, just for a day or two, then I return it. Then we're a little iffy, right? Then, if you read the first and the last, first commandment, you shall have no other God before me. Well, this is kind of vague but serious. What do you mean before me? If you have one thing only you desire most in your life, it shouldn't be Ivy League, Harvard, U of M, it should be God. That means before God. Now you say, "Pastor, you're telling me if I put up my life goal, is to go to Yovan, to be a medical doctor, make $1 million, make everybody likes me. That's not good. If you put that before God, that's not good. Now he said, come on. Don't be so ridiculous, so serious, so rigid. In this world, keep telling us that's the way we do. Even our parents telling us that. I'm sorry. The Bible tells the difference. There are many good stories like that. I don't want to brag. One of my daughter, she got a PhD from Stanford 5-6 years ago in neuroscience. Then God called him to say, think hard, what do you want to do for your life? He can go to biotech company to make $200,000 immediately. And he went to McGill University to do 3 years postdoc. She applied to get $300,000 grant. Then he told the professor, God calling on me, I will not spend the rest of my life doing research because the results of the scientific research are not clear. Most of the results are wasted. Only a very few percentage of the result eventually benefit people. So she said, I have to think seriously. 3 years later, they offered him professorship. She said, thank you. When she came back, I've been professor for 30 years. I was very nervous. I thought, this kid of mine may have some idea which I couldn't understand. It took me 6 months to sit down with him and pray with him to realize the calling is real. She went to Kyrgyzstan. Have you? Know where Kyrgyzstan is? It's not a Disneyland. She spent 3 months there. Lived with the orphans. He knows the son. And God's word came to her. She wanted to spend time with underprivileged high schooler and college students. She spent a year or two teaching in the junior high school. I don't want you to copy her, but I want you all think about it. Do we put anything before God? If we have, we're not good. The last commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. No, we don't covet neighbor's house. We covet neighbor's iPhone. Come on. You come to my age, you covet neighbor's house. Many of your parents, including my friends, when they walk into a huge 4,000 square foot, 5,000 square foot, 6,000 square foot house, we're going with very timid spirit. Especially this guy who was my high school classmate. You shall not cover your neighbor's wife. Oh, we don't cover neighbor's wife. That's the old time. You cover your neighbor's ox or donkey. Oh, we don't cover neighbor's ox or donkey. You cover neighbor's luxury lifestyle. You cover neighbor's whatever. That's why going to school, sitting, the lunchtime is the toughest time for the day of school. It's not in the classroom. It's who you're going to sit with in the lunchtime. Anything that belongs to your neighbor. For many of us, how we look. Do we have muscle? We look beautiful. That is $1 million asset. Watch those beautiful people. When they walk into the room, find another person just as beautiful. That's a huge threat. Not to me, to people like my age as well. We cannot get away from those things. That's called sin. We build our security, comfort on how I look, how I talk, which car I drive. That's why God said, you guys are no good. Not to put us down, to make us realize there's a consequences of putting other things before God. Those outward appearances, those bank book, your grace, I can assure you, your grace not going to be A for the rest of your life. You can get great in Rochester High School, but you go to a U of N the first year, you're going to get C. Not all. Because all the A people come to U of N, the professor grade by curve. I heard of people, this is real work. I know a young man, he went to Harvard. He told me that's the worst decision in his life. It destroyed his self-confidence. Because those top people coming to Harvard, some don't even have to study to get A. This guy studied his tails off, he'll get C. That is, I said, go to Oakland. You can get A there. I'm telling you, this is all relative. Everything is relative, going to be temporal. You think you're going to be always looking this beautiful? I suggest you to look at those movie stars in the age of 60. I bet you they look worse than I am. Because they spend too much time putting makeup on. This is a life. Life is not going to be rosy. Because we are not good. The first thing I realized, my father, when I grew up, I worshiped my father. He went to the top university in China, get a decent job, good salary. But when I was in college, I started thinking, my father, he's out of date. Many things I studied in college, he didn't understand. Okay? I read about more famous people, more beautiful people, more powerful people. I look at my father and say, I wish he was more powerful. You have that impression of your parents, but don't tell me. I don't want to start a revolution. But when I go through life, when I'm in my 30s, 40s, in my 50s, I met my father. He's old, senile, but he trusted Jesus Christ. He has peace. He has joy. All of a sudden, change my perception. I think he's good. But so what is eternal life? This is the misnomer. We're thinking about eternal life means what? Means I can live forever. Nobody lives forever. We think the longer we live, the better we are. Is that true? No. How long did Jesus Christ live? How long? 33 and a half. He lives a perfect life. not longer the better. Is the eternal life means what? It's not longevity. It means when you live today, you have peace. Because you can rid of the inner bitter, all the hurt, all the ridicule you receive from your peer can be removed. All those pride, jealousy, envy can be removed. All the guilt. Oh, I wish I had an A. I wish I did this. I wish I did that. That guilt can be forgiven. We can have peace. Honor. Just imagine Jesus Christ. Think about Jesus Christ. Tell me for sure. Did Jesus Christ receive any award? That we can read from the Bible? No. Did he went to a university? He didn't even go to a university or higher education. But he had Holy Spirit with him. He studied the Word. When he baptized, came in from the water, Bible said the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. Then there's a voice said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I will please." Don't you like to hear that? God said one day to say, "Jimmy, Jack, Mary, and whoever you are, you, the way you are, this might be not the son and daughter. And I am well pleased." Many times I wish my parents told me that. Instead of saying, "Jack, can you do better than this?" I said, "Why?" "Because the neighbor, the kids from the neighbor, the Jones sister, the Jones brother, even your brother can do better. Can you do better? Can you go to your event? Can you go to Oakland? Can you do this?" No. Because people judge us by the outward power, prestige, beauty. Nothing wrong with all these. But those things don't bring honor. Most of the time, bring degradation. Funny thing, I have three children. Bill, Jenny, Jason. When I first born, I never say, "Boy, this one doesn't look like Steve Jobs." Well, there's no Steve Jobs then. No, when I first look at Jason, Jenny, Bill, boy, they're so beautiful. I just love them. The funny thing is, when I get to age six, I say, "Why can't they be quieter? Why can't they be more obedient?" My love becomes what? More conditional. You see what I'm saying? When they do what I say, zero of them, right? Jason, Jason. If Phil does what, Phil usually did what I told him. Guess what? I tend to say, "Oh, come on." When the other two didn't do what I say, I would say, "I hate you." No, I wouldn't say that. What do I say? I said, when Phil do what I say, I said, "Phil, great, I take you to basketball game." Don't you think the other two get the message? You know, where is the problem? The problem is here. Because I judge people by how they look, how they do. But when they were born, I didn't do that. You know why? Because I am not good. Why not be good? The honest truth is, when you have eternal life, it is going to be lasting. Lasting. Say a few t- testimony. When I, of course, when I was at your age, I have no idea what to call dating. Because if I go out with my wife, now wife, then girlfriend, I don't even know what a girlfriend. When I go try to courtship, I call courtship, with my wife Jen, then just a sister, I don't know what to do. If I say, let's go out to the movie, then we'll be labeled, something going on between them. If we split, then the bad thing to one. So we're very nervous. But after 6 years, we went through all the prayer, a very careful courtship, and finally we seek all God's hand. Finally, we engage. From that day on, a year later, we got married. Guess what? The story should go like, they're going to live happily ever after. No, it's not true. I'm telling you. We had differences. We had faults. We had fights. When we have fights, what do? We don't say, I could have done this. No. We went back to God to say, God, if you put us together, we're going to learn how to accept each other. We're going to learn how to care for each other. Please change my beauty. Make her beautiful in my eyes. This is my honest preaching. You know what happened? I have so many downfall, frustration, failure in my career, in my life. When I first took a PhD qualified exam, I flunked. I've never been flunked in my life. The guy flunked me. Because he said, why didn't you read this book I asked you to read? I said, this book is in French. Come on, I haven't learned French. He said, that's your fault. He flunked me. As I went home, you know what my wife told me? I told you so. No. He said, okay. He just hugged me. He grabbed me and said, Jack, you're number one in my life. This is called good. This is called eternal life. Eternal life is not when you go to U of M, people have to throw a party at you. Eternal life, when you're in the pit, people kick you, not really kick you, they say, I don't want to be with you, come on. And someone come to say, hug you, you're number one. Especially your parents. My youngest son, Jesus. Sometimes he come home, he mess up the room. And I say, Jason, clean your room. That was when he's high school. And he said, ignore me. I said, Jason! Then you know what he said? Dad, don't yell at me. I said, come on, I yell at you. That's the least thing. Then I realized that. What he listened, what he heard is not my word. It's my expression. He didn't hear clear up the room. What he heard is, you don't like it. Just because I can clean my room, you don't like. So next time, I say, Jason! And he's like, don't yell at me. I said, you're right, Jason. I shouldn't raise my voice. But I came to him to say, hey, buddy, what about this room? He said, what about this? Don't we agree? You have to bring it up? Okay, when do I do it? I say, I thought you did it. You should have done it yesterday. I said, well, yesterday's gone. Let's renegotiate. Boy, I'm telling you today with a smile on my face. But when that happened, I had fire in my belly. But I pray to the Lord, Lord, if I truly love this guy, change my attitude. Not because I opened the Bible to say you should honor your parents. No. My true question is, do I love him, honor him? Then I change my attitude. Guess what? Jason these days, many times he just called me to chat with me. Boy, that made my day. Finally, you know the ending of the story? Can someone tell me the ending of the story? Ryan. You know what's the saddest part of this story? Not because this guy didn't get a prize, get a acclaim, stand up in front of people. The saddest part of the story is what? People leaving Jesus. You can't get whatever you want if that makes you leaving Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, nothing worth it. I saw so many successful person. The story I told you at the beginning when I went to England, the mother came to me and said she has a 12-year-old daughter. She's so bright, top A student in the top school. And she said, no, don't know why. Just a couple months ago, she went berserk. She became anorexia. Then my wife and I spent hours with this girl and parents. Of course, we couldn't fix the problem so shortly, but we figured out the reason. The story went like this, the true story. This girl is the model of the community. Straight A, athletic, play piano. I mean, could be the next female Yao Ming, or I don't know. She had everything made for him. Go to Cambridge and become a doctor, everything made. Just one day going to school, a group of her friends, so-called friends, I mean, if people have friends like that, who needs enemy? The friend told her, you are fat. That hit her. From that day, she dragged going to school. And she started, she couldn't eat. It's not because she wanted to eat. She just couldn't. Now I understand what anorexia is. I used to think people just refuse to eat, you know? No, because that thought, she was fat, ugly, negate all the other things she had accomplished in her life. There's something so deep inside. She just can't take it. She couldn't eat. She from 120 pounds to 68 pounds. She almost died. She's only 12 years old. Her intelligent level, her EQ level is like an adult. But deep inside, she has no eternal life. No security, no peace, no honor. Then we talk to her parents. Her parents start crying like babies. They say, they feel so guilty. because they didn't know how to help. Then finally they realize they are not good, because they accepted her by her performance, by her appearance. They will not accept her, even people call her fat. It's a sad, sad story. You know what? The teenager suicide rate goes through the roof these days in the United States. The number one issue is low self-worth. It's not a poor kid from Detroit. They committed suicide. It's the suburban, the top school student, wealthy student. They feel so little self-worth. And just to show, when people leave Jesus Christ, you're not going to find peace. You're not going to have love. You can't accept people. The worst of that is you can't accept yourself. How do we receive eternal life? You don't take an extracurricular in Shibang. You don't go to a Kuhlman eternal life class. You're not going to get it. The simple way to get it, let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. If you forgot about everything I said today, if you remember going back to Jesus Christ, all you have to do, receive. Believe. Believe what? First thing you have to tell them, I am so tired. I try so hard. It doesn't bring peace. I feel so guilty. I need you to release. Bring me out of this jail. Try that. I did that when I was 16 years old. I was a top high school, top student, going to a top university, but deep down, I know I am no good. I envy, I jealous, I fight. The only reason I couldn't steal things I wanted is because I was afraid to get caught. I'm too smart to steal. But deep down, I see somebody do better than me, I envy. I can't help my being envy. I can put on a smile, deep down, oh, it just eat my inside. I couldn't help it. So when I hear the Jesus Christ, I come to him and say, I cannot help. I thought I'm smart. I thought I'm, this is only can bring my good grade, can bring a little money, can even buy love. There's so many teenagers have suicidal attempts when they get rejected in this boyfriend, girlfriend. The rejection tells them they're nothing. But only when it comes to Jesus Christ, I find relief. Every time I was down in the pit, every time people laughed at me, every time I think I'm no good, I come back to Jesus Christ. He's like, what Jesus Christ said, you are my son. I love you so much, I died on the cross for you. Has anybody done that for you? No. Not for my confidence. It's not self-confidence. It's God. Then you have to believe. Believe is not just, I cannot, oh yeah, what do you think? No. Believe means I put myself under God's provision. I submit myself to God's authority. I will try the best I can to do whatever you tell me. No matter what the pastor said, no matter what the parent said, if the Bible says so, if I grasp it, I will do it. That brings happiness. That brings determination. That brings honor. Let's just stop here. Let's have a word of prayer to close. Father, help us not to be just like that young ruler with money, power, intelligence, status, but he deep down he thinks he's no good because he has envy, jealous, he pursues all the things but not you. Help us to turn to you to say, God, we receive your forgiveness, your honor, your blessing. We feel good, not because we tell ourselves, but because you love us. Your Holy Spirit will be with us. I pray for each and everyone in this room. You be with them. Your Holy Spirit empower them. Speak to them through your word, because you died for them on the cross, even though before they even knew you. That shows how much you love us. Help our parents. We are not to be a conditional love parent. We not love our children just because they look beautiful, they perform better. They do whatever we told them. We love them because, God, you love us. So we love them. No condition. Help us to change in this new year. Make a resolution that, Lord, we'll focus our eye on you. We'll listen to you, the word of Holy Spirit. We'll follow you. We'll pray for Pastor Brady, all the counselors. Give them the wisdom to lead the children, lead the youth, lead the young adults to have this resolution. Lord, we follow you. Lord, if we leave you, we become useless. We become worthless. We pray this in Jesus' name.